8, Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done, while the earth remaineth seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. And then chapter 9, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, and upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things, but flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat? And surely your blood of your lice will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it. And at the hand of man and at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of a man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. And you, be ye fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth, will I establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. Aren't you glad this night? And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. May the Lord bless his word tonight as we come to his word. My message tonight is a covenant relationship with God. A covenant relationship with God. No chapter in the early chapters of Genesis reveal that there's a covenant relationship with God like chapter 9 of Genesis. This is the great mark of it. But let us just step back into the end of chapter 8 from verse 20. We read there concerning Noah on Mount Ararat, coming out of the ark with all of the animals. God has destroyed the entire earth. He actually wiped out a whole generation of men, women, and animals. Maybe a million, maybe a whole lot more, maybe a less. But I assure you, a whole generation was destroyed by God. Why? Because their hearts were wicked. They were disobedient. They could care less about his laws. I assure you, in that generation, when Noah got on the ark, and was delivered from the wrath and the judgment of God. There were some who said, oh, God will forgive everyone. God loves everyone. I believe we'll be okay. It's not as narrow as you say, Noah. I'm sure I'll be okay. I'm sure when I die, I'm sure everything will be okay and I'll be fine and God understands and I believe in him. But you know what? It wasn't okay for them. It was only those that got on the ark. And I assure you tonight, only those in Christ are going to be saved in this city. Nobody outside of Christ. And I assure you, there's a big difference between those who are outside of Christ and those who are inside of Christ. Just as those outside the ark were very different from those that were in the ark. But notice with me here, in chapter 8 and verse 20, the first thing Noah does when he gets off the ark, the first thing he builds an altar. That takes effort. That is actually a decision. The first thing he does, the world has radically changed. These people on the boat, this family, this man has saw with his own eyes the judgment of God. He has seen that God is a holy God. He doesn't ignore sin. He doesn't excuse sin. He doesn't bypass sin. He will actually judge sinners, even a whole generation. Even when there's only 8 that are saved, he will destroy a whole generation if they don't come to repentance through his word. If they don't respond to his grace, if they don't enter into the ark, all shall perish. And I want to tell you, only one family is going to get saved in this generation, and that's the family of Jesus Christ. There's only one place of safety, and that is in Jesus Christ. And you will make a choice. Every man, every woman in this city will make a choice. There's many sinners out there getting drunk. Do you realize drunkenness will send you to hell? You can have the name of Jesus on your lips, but you're getting drunk. You will end up in an eternal hell. That's not my word. That is God. Oh, I'm sure God will understand. God won't understand. The Bible says clearly the drunkard will in no way enter the kingdom of heaven. Oh, but I can experience the love of God and the grace of God, and I know all about him. But are you a drunkard? Are you a liar? Are you a cheat? Are you a drug user? Are you a fornicator? I tell you, you can be very morally nice, and there's morally nice people in this city. Oh, I keep the commandments. I don't steal. I don't lie. I don't fornicate. I don't get drunk. I don't take drugs. I'm very moral. I'm very religious. But are you born again? Have you had your heart changed? Oh, but I believe all that you're saying. But have you had an encounter with Jesus? Oh, but I always believed this. No, that isn't being born again. Yes. Oh, I grew up a Christian. My parents were Christians. I've always believed this, but have you been born again? Can you look to a day where God convicted you of your sin? He hung you over hell. He revealed to you that you were lost. You cannot get saved unless you've been lost. And the one work of God is to show you you're a lost sinner. That is the first step he does in bringing you to salvation. You know, one of the most glorious things is where God opens up your heart and you go, all my righteousness is filthy rags. All my goodness is nothing. The only way I can be saved is through the mercy and the grace of God. When Noah got out of that ark, he began to build an altar. Why? He'd seen the holiness of God. He saw the salvation of God. He experienced the mercy of God and the love of God and the grace of God, saving his own family. He was no better than anyone else, but he did believe God's word. He was not more righteous in some areas than other men, but he did believe in obedience to God's word. He believed in following God, and he was a preacher of righteousness. This is the first altar ever mentioned in the entire Bible. And I assure you, a man who has seen the holiness of God and the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, the salvation of God, the first thing he wants to do is build an altar. If you really see God is a holy God and that you ought to be in hell, but you're not in hell, and he's forgiven your sins and he loves you when there's nothing lovely about you, the first thing you want to do is build an altar. You actually want to take stones, and this is what Noah done. He gathered stones and he built up a great altar. Then he began to offer sacrifices on it. Why was he doing that? It was adoration unto God. He was praising and worshiping God. And it says, as the fragrance of that ascended, it says in verse 21, the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Do you see why God brought judgment? He said that man's heart is wicked from his youth. The very imagination of man's heart is wicked, even from the days of his youth. Do you realize God sees every heart? Do you see, realize that God sees every man, every woman in this city. He acknowledges them. He knows their name. He knows everything. He knew you before you came into Christ. He knew everything about you. Many of us in here, we're out there living our life, being nice and religious, or be a crook. Most of the people that come in here, half of them are crooks. But I tell you, what a band we are. But I assure you, in a day when we thought God didn't see, God doesn't exist, I maybe there's some mirage out there. God personally knew you. He could see you. He understood everything about you. But when you see his holiness and you have an experience with him, since you want to build an altar, what is an altar? How do you build it? Out of stones? No. Is it a physical thing? No. Building an altar is making a place of prayer. You can do that in your home. You can do that in the church. You can do it at the end of this meeting. In your heart, you raise up an altar. An altar is a place where you meet with God, you give to God, you speak to God, and God speaks to you. That's what an altar is. And it's the first thing that Noah did. When you experience salvation, you want to build an altar. Do you know what that means? You want a place where you meet with God. You want to get alone with God. You want to open up the Word of God and say, God, speak to me. You want to have a place of prayer. You want to get away from everyone else and say, I need to speak to you, Lord. I need to meet with you. I need a place where I give myself unto you every single day. Speaking to God every single day. Him speaking to you every single day. Every day saying, Lord, you have everything. That's what Noah done, was build an altar between him and God. Notice it was an altar unto the Lord. It's not an altar for your benefit. Oh, I'm going to pray because it's to my benefit. Oh no. I'm going to read the Bible and try and find a promise that will make my life good. Oh no, this is an altar unto the Lord. Do you realize he is not going to revolve himself in around you? You are not the center of Limerick. I'm sorry to tell you tonight. You are not the center of his purpose. Christ is the center of God's purpose. That ark of safety was God's purpose. But God doesn't revolve everything around you. We are all going to revolve around him. He is the center. He is the master. We are the servants. He is everything. We are nothing, but yet he loves us. And he dies for us and he preserves us. I want you to notice here as we come to chapter 9 that 7 times the word covenant is used. 7 times. This is utterly unique, saints. In the previous chapters, the word covenant's only used once. But when you come to this chapter 9 of Genesis, 7 times the word covenant is mentioned. Do you know what that means? We need to stop and to consider and understand what the word covenant means. What is this covenant that God is speaking to Noah about? What is this covenant with Noah? Our message tonight, a covenant relationship with God. I want you to see where Noah was standing. Here he is on Mount Ararat. There's the ark. He has seen the devastation of the whole world. The old world is perished. The new world lies before him. The old is gone. The new has come. A generation is lost. And now him and his own children stand on the edge of repopulating the entire world. From a period of almost 4,000 years, they went from 8 people till today, 7.2 2 billion. Saints, it's remarkable that these people stood there representing every human on the face of the planet. All of us in this room, to send right back to Noah and his 3 sons. All of us in this room, doesn't matter our color, doesn't matter our country, doesn't matter our background. We all came biologically from the same family. That's why there's no racism in the Church of God. That's why I make no distinction between culture, race, or anything else. It doesn't exist in the church. A white man's as much my brother as an African or anyone else. I make no distinction. Isn't it beautiful how God makes everybody unique? Look at those who were born and raised in Limerick for generations. They're all unique. Not 2 of them are the same. You see, that is all of mankind. But this covenant has an importance with Noah. He is the representative of all mankind. Out of Noah came all this 7.2 billion people. You know, many years ago, I met a little brethren lady, a little Christian lady up in her mid-80s in Scotland. I was out giving gospel tracts, out sharing the gospel. Met her and her husband. She was a little toady, tiny lady. And I'm standing there talking to her. And she's talking about, there was 4 generations that come out of her. And I don't know whether you saw at school. We used to have them at school. That little doll that you open up and there's a smaller doll, and then you open it up and there's a smaller doll, and you open it up and there's another one that comes out of it. And I'm looking at her. First time it ever dawned on me. The miracle of this little tiny lady. 4 generations. All these grandchildren. All these big bustling 4th generation. They all come out of this little lady, out of her womb. I thought, that's terrific. What a miracle. But saints, that out of Noah came 7.2 billion people in our earth. All of us go back to him. And God's dealings with Noah are intricate to every single person on the planet. There's no culture this doesn't connect to. There's no nation. There's no language. There's no type of person. What God done with Noah affects the entire population of the world. Let me give you 7 things about the covenant in this chapter. First of all, it was a covenant of grace. A covenant of grace. In verse 9 of chapter 9, it says, "And God spake unto Noah and his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I will establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you." I will establish my covenant. Although covenant is mentioned 7 times in this chapter, it is mentioned once before. The first mention of covenant in the Bible is in chapter 6 and verse 8. And that is the very first, in verse 18. That is the very first mention of covenant in the Bible. It says, "But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee." What does covenant mean? The first great mark of covenant is it is a covenant of grace. I want you to see here, the first mention of grace, he says, "I will establish my covenant with you." So what's the result of that? You will come into my ark. Do you realize the results of, if God's grace is on you, if a covenant of grace comes to you, you are going to come into the ark. Yeah. You will come into Jesus Christ. How do I know that you've experienced the covenant of grace? You come into Jesus. What does the covenant of grace mean? You will come into Jesus. You see, if this covenant of life, of this covenant of grace affects you, you will literally be drawn into God's ark of safety in an hour of judgment and of wrath and of sin and of iniquity. There is a covenant that draws you into Jesus Christ. Saints, why do you believe in Jesus and the person living next to you doesn't? Why is it that God's grace has come to you and you've experienced His forgiveness and someone in your family waves their fist at God, laughs at Him or accuses Him or curses Him? What makes the difference? I tell you, it's not because you're better. Yeah. It's not because you're more worthy. It's not because you're so wise and profound. There's only one reason. It's a covenant of grace. You may not understand everything, but you'll never work out why it is that God has drawn you to Jesus. The Bible actually says that no man cometh unto Him unless the Father draw him. Do you hear me? You cannot come. Oh, I've got a free will. I can come anytime. No, you can't. No, you can't. The Bible doesn't teach that. Man was so fallen in Adam, he couldn't even believe in Christ. He couldn't come to Christ. He couldn't seek after Christ unless God initiated it. He is the good shepherd. He comes looking for you. Notice here in chapter 6 and in verse 8 it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace. Verse 18, I will establish my covenant with thee. Why did God establish a covenant or bring Noah into a covenant with himself? Because of grace. If there was no grace, God would not establish a covenant with you. What is a covenant? What is this that you get brought into because of God's grace? It is actually a relationship between you and God. What is a covenant? The word covenant is the Hebrew word bereth. It means to cut a covenant. In the Hebrew word, it's not just an agreement. It literally means that a covenant is cut in a blood sacrifice. Without the shedding of blood, without a sacrifice that is died, there is no covenant. Do you realize there's no such thing as a relationship with God unless blood has been shed? Unless a sacrifice has died? Unless someone has died or something has died, there is no relationship with God. It's impossible. Fundamental to having a covenant with God is somebody died. Blood was shed. Some body had to be broken in two. In the Old Testament, covenants were made. They would get animals. They would sacrifice those animals. And if it was two men making a covenant or an agreement together, what they would do is kill the animal. And they would lay out the parts of the animal. And then both of you would walk down the middle of that dead animal. And when you done that, as you walked in the midst of the blood, you would speak to the other one and say, I will covenant with you. I want to be in a relationship with you. But it was with an awareness. It's not without blood. It's not without death. It's going to cost something. But we don't pay the price. That animal is paying the price. We read here, I will establish my covenant with you. I want you to notice, God makes covenants with individuals. We read in the Bible, it's the first time we ever read God making a covenant with man. God actually entered into a covenant with Noah. We read later in the Bible, He entered one with Abraham, and with David, and with Moses, and with all of Israel. And now, in Christ, you know when we break bread on Sundays? Do you know what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 11? He said, this is the new covenant in my blood. In other words, when you take that juice, you may say, oh, this is in remembrance of you. Do you know what God is saying? There is a covenant that you have been brought into. There is a relationship you've been brought into because of the blood of Jesus. Amen. Who is your sacrifice tonight? Who is it it through? What sacrifice have you made a covenant with God? Do you realize you can only have a relationship with God, a covenant with God, through the shedding of blood? Why is it you're alive tonight and Jesus had to die for your sin? You were guilty, you were condemned, you have sinned against God in your thoughts, in your words, in your actions, and the Bible says God has punished His Son in your place. Yeah. He died that you could enter a relationship with Him. God makes covenants with individuals. He says, Noah, with you will I make my covenant. Whose covenant is it? Is it Noah's?
No.
Is it man's? It's my covenant. God's saying, this is my covenant and I will make it with you. It was a covenant of grace. You see, you better know what type of covenant you're entering into. I once knew a girl in Switzerland. She was marrying a Swiss guy. She was from America, moved to Switzerland. And they had made a pre-nuptial agreement or covenant. And I got speaking to her. She's on a German language course, so am I. We get talking. And she says, the way this works is that I'm, because he's rich, because he's got a part in a big business, because he's a man who's going to grow up and be important, and he's got a big house, and he's got a big car, and he's got everything coming in the inheritance, says he doesn't want to lose it in a divorce. So we're making a prenuptial agreement, which means I covenant or make an agreement. If I leave this relationship, I lose everything. I can't walk away with half. And she wrote in, I said, you're kidding me. What sort of love is that? What sort of relationship's that? That you go in the basis, here, anything changes, or I don't like your cooking, or I get tired of you, or you lose your beauty, or you start putting weight on, I'll just divorce you and go find someone else, and you won't be left with a penny of what I've got. You see, you better know what sort of an agreement you're entering into. I can assure you, when I entered a covenant with Candace, she got everything I've got, I got everything that she had, I got the better deal, she got the lesser of the deal. But you know what? There was an unreserved commitment. When I entered covenant with her in marriage, and there is no marriage without a covenant being made. That's what marriage is. I said, I am living with you for life. In good times and bad times. If you get old and wrinkled, I'm going to love you all the more. That's what a covenant is. When you get sick, I'll look after you. I'll even do the dishes, the cooking, the hoover and everything else. But I have given myself to you. That's the covenant. You better know the heart, the person and the terms of the covenant. When you enter into a binding agreement, you better know what you're entering into. Well, Noah entered into a covenant of grace. What is grace? On merited favor. In other words, it's not based on you, it's based on Him. What is unmerited favor? He gives you what you do not deserve.
Amen.
Would you want to get what you do deserve?
No.
Would you want God to give you what you rightfully deserve? Have you been so perfect since coming to Christ? Are all of you so righteous that you say, oh God, I'm so righteous, give me what I deserve? I'd hope none of us would say that. This is a covenant of grace. Do you know, he come to Noah and he said, Noah, I'm entering into a covenant relationship with you. I'm making it personally with you. It's between you and me. It's my covenant and it's all on my side. Grace, grace, grace. That's what it is. Unmerited favor. In other words, you don't deserve it. I've entered a relationship with. I've promised to give you things. You do not deserve it. Notice it says, I will establish my covenant. That means to confirm it, strengthen it, raise it up, perform it, or to make it function. Do you realize when God makes a covenant with a man or a woman, He says, I will make it work. I am going to perform it. I will never forget it. Though all hell lets rip on you, I am your covenant God. I am with you. I'm a God of grace. I never change. If I'm a covenant God now, if I'm a God of grace, I'll always be the God who first came to you when you're a sinner. Don't think He changes along the way. And suddenly it goes from, I didn't deserve anything, I came as a sinner, Now as a Christian, I've got to earn this. I've got to work hard. I've got to deserve it. You'd be a fool to change the terms of this covenant. It is a covenant of grace. It's His unmerited favor. His heart is towards you. He had a heart for you when you weren't lovely. You were a sinner. You were a rebel. You were unclean. I tell you, your thoughts, your desires, your choices, your actions, your words, it was all wrong. That's when He come to you. That's the very point. When you were wretched in your sin, when you were lost, when you were a vessel of wrath, an instrument of the devil, that's when He came with grace. You better never forget that that's where it began. If a bit down the road you start saying, well, I know a bit now, I have to come up to the standard, you better be very careful that you haven't changed the terms, and it's no longer grace, it is now law. Do this, and you'll live. Don't do this and you'll die. That's law. That's law. Do you know what the prophet said to Israel? He says, I will make a new covenant with you, not according to the covenant I made with you at Sinai. Because in that old covenant, I said, do this and live. Don't do it and die. That is old covenant. If your relationship with God is based on, I've done everything right, now it's okay. Something has gone wrong, I've failed, now it's all disaster. You're living under law. That is not a covenant of grace. I tell you, it's always grace. He comes to you. How did He forgive you the first time? He'll do it again tonight. He'll come to you if you repent. Lord, forgive me with a sincere heart. He will wash you, cleanse you, forgive you, and restore you. You see, what is a covenant? It is a relationship with God. It is a uniting of two persons. There is a basis. There is a contract. There is a way of operating. You see, out there, the relationships, casual relationships. Well, I like you. You look good. You've got a nice figure. Let's sleep together. Be intimate. We'll have children. I'll enjoy you, be gone the next morning. Yeah. That's how relationships operate in this world. There's no covenant. There's no covenant. Do you know what happens in a covenant of marriage? You say, I haven't touched her, I haven't seen her, I haven't slept with her, I haven't been intimate with her, but I want to enter a covenant. After the covenant comes intimacy. It's only with one person. You know, in the world out there, do you know what happens? They try people. I'll go through 15 relationships. She's the best of the bunch. It's working out. Okay, I'll keep her. Let's get married. That is the world. Do you know that in our thinking, we think of relationships like this world does. They're temporary. They're fragile. Some poor girl's been through several guys. They've used her, they've dumped her, they've lifted her, a guy comes in smiling. She thinks, this is it for life. The guy's away, he had no intention, no serious smile, let's go out, all the rest. No real concern about her. And that attitude comes into the church, and we have throwaway relationships in the church. We think God is like that. That is not covenant. What is covenant? It is a serious, thoughtful, deep, intimate relationship. It is a relationship built on a legal document. That's what it is. Secondly, we see it's not only a covenant of grace, it's also a covenant of blessing. Look at verse 1. And God blesses Noah and his sons. Do you realize it's not a covenant of cursing? And if you don't live up to the standard, if you don't do everything perfect, I will curse you. Don't be thinking as a Christian. It is wrath hanging over your head. It is judgment at every turn. It is that you're only just making it. That is not the covenant God has brought you into. It is a covenant of blessing. Do you realize for those in Christ, remember this isn't for those outside the ark. For those who don't get in the ark, come away from their sin, turn away from their own ways, and get into that ark and say, here I am, I'm here to stay, I'm not going anywhere else, I've come in through the door. You see, those outside the door, it is curse.
Yeah.
It is punishment. Yeah. It is doom. You know, the Bible in the New Testament says, we are children of wrath outside of Christ.
Yeah.
Children of wrath. The judgment of God hangs over our heads. Most of them don't even realize it. But it is a covenant of blessing. Do you realize blessing is the opposite of cursing? Can you imagine God cursing you, saying, I curse you? Can you imagine God doing that? And he did do it to some people in the Bible. The Bible says that all of us that are the seed of Adam are under a curse. That's how we're born. We are born under a curse. We have broken the law of God. We are suffering the consequence of our sin. We are already cursed. And yet in this covenant, it is a covenant of blessing. He wants to bless you, saints. God wants to bless you tonight. If you're sitting here and you go, but does he? And your mind is in turmoil. And you're there tormented going, I believe God wants to judge me. What a torment. Amen. You know, if every night I went to bed and I go, she's going to leave me in the morning. She's against me. She doesn't love me. She hates me. She's looking for every little thing, every little word. That's not a relationship. That is not a relationship. If I'm living up to standard rather than just living in a relationship, that is hell on earth. Yeah. That is no relationship. God isn't like that. He comes and he said, I've come to bless you. I've come to pour out my blessings. Do you realize this Bible is filled with literally thousands of blessings? Yeah. There are so many blessings to those who get in the ark and come through the ark that you can't number them. They are bountiful. They are abundant. They get heaped on top of each other. You see, the heart of God within the covenant is, I want to bless you. You're not in this relationship that I can curse you, or that I can destroy you, or that I can find something in you. I'm here to bless you. You know, a part of that blessing, I'll make you holy. I'll make you clean. I'll sanctify you. He says, even in this covenant, he says, now if an issue arises in your heart, if something comes to you, I won't cast you away. I won't remove my mercy or grace from you. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring a rod upon you. I'm going to discipline you. What would you do with your child, your 3-year-old child? It becomes a wee rebel. It begins to get in tantrums, throw its fist at you. Now, there's nothing nice about that. That is rebellion. That is wrong. What are you going to do? Throw the 3-year-old out the door? It's only 3 years in that home. You've looked after it. You've blessed it. You've raised it. You've clothed it. You've fed it. You've worked hard. You're always doing the ironing, always doing the washing, changed all its nappies, all of that pile of dirty nappies. I'm telling you, what a load. And what do? Go, that's me, finish with you, boyo. Out the door. Go find somewhere else. 3 years old, you make your own way. I'm not standing for that. You don't. You bring a rod to bear. Yeah. You don't throw the child out. You just say, that needs dealt with. Yeah. And I will deal with it. You know, a good parent won't throw the kid away and say, well, start all over again. Need a... make another child, have another pregnancy, wait 3 more years, hopefully it'll work out this time. No, you bring a rod to bear. You say, no, we need to get that attitude, that rebellion, that attitude, that characteristic's dangerous for that child. It's not the child's responsibility only, it's my. That child is responsible. That child will have to deal with its heart. But I want to show you as a parent, that is my responsibility. Do you know God's heart towards you in this covenant of blessing? Isn't to curse you when you fail. Isn't to curse you when something comes up in your heart. He says, I'm going to deal with that. I'm going to chasten you. I'm taking you out to the woodhouse. I've got a rod out there. I know how to correct you where you'll be sorry for what you're doing. You'll hate that thing that's gone into your heart, but I'll deal with you. Why? You're my child. You're not illegitimate. You're not an orphan. You are my child. I'm not casting you away. I am going to deal with that heart. I will punish you. I will deal with you. But it's a covenant of blessing. Do you see this in the heart of your heavenly Father tonight? This was God's heart towards Noah. Noah, I want to bless you. Noah, I am going to bless you. Do you know in Noah's life a bit down the road, some things were going to come up that weren't good? Do you realize something got into Noah's life? He failed God in the future, but that didn't stop God blessing him. God says, I want to bless you. I want to pour benefits out on you. I want to give you what is useful. I want to give you what is spiritual. Thirdly, it is a covenant of mercy. What is the opposite of mercy? Wrath. Wrath. Either you have the wrath of God or the mercy of God. In this covenant, it is a covenant of mercy. It's not a covenant of wrath. Hallelujah. If you're in covenant with God, you don't walk about perpetually with a sense of doom and of God's judgment hanging over your head, since you're not seeing it as it truly is. Yeah. That is not the God of the Bible. You're actually creating a different image of God. That is not the covenant of God. It is a covenant of mercy. The opposite of mercy is wrath and judgment. Would God ever have wrath and judgment towards individuals? Yes. Out in this city, there are those, the wrath of God hangs over them. Oh, but they're so nice. But if they don't know Christ, the wrath of God is over them. But they're very moral. They really believe in spiritual things. But if they're not born again in Christ, if they're not forgiven, if they haven't been changed in their heart, if they love to sin, if they live in sin, God's wrath is against them. God's wrath is against them. The opposite of that is mercy. What does mercy mean? Grace means he gives you what you don't deserve. What is mercy? He holds back what you do deserve. Do you know you deserve wrath? Do you know you deserve judgment? You can absolutely be conscious of what you deserve tonight and yet go, I know I'm free of it. I know what I deserve tonight. I know where I deserve to go tonight. But you know what? I'm aware that the mercy of God in this covenant relationship, God holds back what I deserve. I know what I deserve. Do you know what you deserve? Are you aware what you actually deserve? What God should pour out on your head? And yet in this covenant, if you're in a covenant with God through the blood of Jesus, he holds it back. Listen to me what it says in Isaiah 54 and verse 8. And this is God speaking to his people. He says, in a little wrath, speaking to his people, in a little wrath I hid my face from you. Do you realize that God can, for a moment, hide his face from you? What is the wrath of God? For a believer, it's when he hides his face. When you lose sight of him. When there isn't an awareness of his presence. When you're not conscious of him being there. He says, in a little wrath I hid my face from thee in a moment. It was deliberate. God is speaking to his people. I did hide my face from you for a moment. But listen, but, thank God for another, but underline it. But with everlasting kindness. See, the wrath is for a moment. The loving kindness is everlasting. The wrath is temporary, a momentarily. But not the everlasting kindness. It's unchanging, it's always there. Well, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wrath with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Do you realize Noah and his family in that ark? It didn't depend on their feelings. They might have been in that ark saying, has God forgotten about us? Is God only looking on our failure? Does God only see our weak points? What is it? Maybe God has left us in this ark to rot. Maybe there is no future. Maybe he's deserted us. Maybe his wrath is against us. No, no, no. It's a covenant of mercy. They were in that ark. The wrath of God was all around them. The wrath of God was destroying. But they could be assured God's everlasting kindness is upon them. He has sworn, just like with those waters, I will remember my mercy. I have sworn, I've made a covenant. Though the mountains be removed, you realize in Noah's days the mountains were removed. The continent was ripped apart into, it was from one continent to several. It was ripped apart. Land masses were ripped apart. Mountains moved. Whole nations were moved. Whole populations were destroyed. But it didn't come nigh Noah. It did not. Why? Because God had joined himself to Noah in a covenant. What was the sign of it? Because I tell you, you can have feelings, can't you? And you go, has he deserted me? Has he left me? I don't feel him. I don't see him. I don't sense him. Has he turned away from me? Have I sinned beyond hope? You know, a Christian can fail. They can. What about Noah? Do you know God says, I'm going to give you a token of my mercy. I'm going to give you a token. He says, here is the token of the covenant. I'm going to put a bow in the cloud. See when that rain comes. See when the dark clouds blow. See when all the signs seem to be there that another flood is coming, that judgment is coming, that I'm going to destroy you, that I'm going to deal with you as a sinner. Do you remember since coming to Christ and it was joy, it was forgiveness. And then an hour comes and you go, where is he? Where is he? Have I grieved him? Has he given up on me? Have I missed him? In that hour, what do? You look for the bow in the clouds. You see, the storms are gathering. The rain is coming. And it looks like the rains are coming like in the days of Noah. Do you know what I look for? The rainbow. As soon as you see the rainbow, you know God is not going to judge the earth again. He will not destroy it. That sign was set by God. There was no rainbow in the clouds before that. There was no rain before that. God put it in the clouds. Next we see it's an everlasting covenant. In verse 16 it's called an everlasting covenant. A everlasting covenant. What does everlasting mean? That it'll last for all eternity into the future? Yes. Since there is no end to it. It is perpetual. In verse 12 it says, for a perpetual covenant to all generations. That means for as long as there's generations, my covenant is going to be here. It will. There'll never be a time where my covenant comes to an end. What is an everlasting covenant? It is no end. But something else, it is no beginning. That's what everlasting is. If it had a beginning point, it means it's not everlasting. Yeah. You see, the covenant of law has a beginning. The old covenant has a beginning. It is temporary. It is made with man. It begins with man. It depends on man. But the everlasting covenant came out of eternity. It came out of eternity. It didn't begin when you got saved. It didn't even begin with Adam. It didn't begin with creation. The Bible says he knew you in your mother's womb. Do you realize that? He literally looked into your mother's womb and he saw your limbs being created and formed. Oh, but it goes further than the womb. You didn't know anything at that point. He says, from the foundation of the world and it knew you. And it goes further back. He says, from before the foundation of the world, I chose you and I desired you. See, it's an everlasting covenant. This relationship wasn't an afterthought after Adam's sin. God from the beginning actually planned a covenant. In Isaiah, it says, I have given my servant as a covenant. Who do you think that was? I have given my servant, this is a covenant made in eternity. I have made my servant, my son, into a covenant, and I have given him to the people as a light to the Gentiles to open up the prison doors, to open up the eyes, to set the captive free. What was that everlasting covenant? It was Christ. It has no beginning, saints. Do you realize God in his heart had a covenant and he waited all through time until you were born and until you grew to a time and he comes to you and he offers you a covenant and says it's a covenant of grace. It's a covenant of blessing. It is a covenant of mercy. It is an everlasting covenant. I want to bring you into a relationship with me. I want to change you. I want to work in your life. It's also a family covenant. It says there in verse 9 that it was for Noah and his seed after him. Do you realize the head of a house represents his whole family? God made a covenant with Noah and his children and his seed perpetually. God made a covenant with Abraham and his seed. God made a covenant with David and his seed. Do you realize that in later generations God didn't destroy Judah and Jerusalem? They become wicked. He says, I want to destroy them, but I won't because I made a covenant with David. Which means I'll be merciful and I'll look to raise up someone else out of that family. Do you realize God can join himself to a family? Your family has known nothing but sin. The previous generations, it's been darkness, religion, sin, iniquity, the devil playing games with your family. Do you know it begins with you? Do you know it changes with you, and especially with men? They are to be the head of the homes. They represent the whole family. Do you realize why God delivered Noah's family? Wasn't because of their righteousness. It wasn't Ham's righteousness. It said, "You, Noah, have I seen righteous?" Yeah. Do you know the effect of that? His three children were saved from wrath and judgment. God doesn't mention their righteousness or their goodness. But because of the blessing of God on Noah, God worked on their lives. Do you realize when God saves you? My great-grandmother was a born-again believer. Do you know my grandfather walked into a meeting to fight the preacher? He was angry with the preacher. He was going to fight the preacher. God saved him in his seat. Do you realize God saved my mom and my father? God has blessed four generations I know of, and it goes back further. He joins himself to a family. And I assure you, using this church, he wants to start something. He wants to start something that affects this entire city, especially the men. You're to raise up a family. You are to be the head of that home. You are to be righteous. But all of us can affect this city. All of us affect our children, our friends, or our spiritual seed. It was as well a covenant with creation. God didn't ignore the animals. He made a covenant of the animal with the animals. He made a covenant with creation. He made a covenant with the animals that he wouldn't destroy them all again with the flood. He made a covenant with creation to say, "I'll never destroy this world with water ever again. I will not do it." God cares about creation. He is going to destroy it with fire one day. He is going to create a new earth one day. There is the hope of a new earth. Do you know what's the difference between the new earth and our earth? In that new earth, it's described as it doesn't have oceans in it. Our world does. When Jesus comes back, it says he'll reign from ocean to ocean. In the new earth, there is no ocean, saints of God. It is a beautiful new world. God did make a covenant with creation. And in it, do you know what he says? Seed time and harvest will never end. But what about climate change? What about the planet? Do you know they're going to try and do away with cows in Ireland? They're actually, they've already talked, it's been announced on the radio, they're trying to bring it around. Moo-free milk in Ireland. You see, the cows, all that gas that gets released is destroying the ozone layer over Ireland. Do you realize the cows of Ireland are destroying the planet? All of that extra gas from the grass is destroying our planet. That's how ridiculous they are today. That's how they talk. They talk about us by our cars and by everything that we use. Destroying the planet. It'll never happen. My Bible says God has made a covenant with creation. Seed time and harvest will never end. Summer and winter will never end. Day and night will never end. Do you realize when you wake up tomorrow morning and when you see the sun rising and the day breaking, every 24 hours we see the covenant of God operating. He made a covenant back in the days of Noah to say day and night will never cease. Has it ceased? When tomorrow evening, as you see the sun going down, you better say, God has made a covenant and it's unbreakable. If he keeps it with the sun and the moon and the stars, will he not keep it with me? If he has made a covenant to say, the sun's going to rise, the sun's going to set. Seed time and harvest, everything is in its place. The animals are still there. When you plant a seed, it does grow. Look at the grass. Who looks after the grass? Who makes the grass grow? Just plant the seed and it will grow. God has made a covenant. Does he not care for you more? Has he not made a covenant with you through the blood of Jesus? Will he not make this work in your life? If he can make the sun rise and fall, go around this planet constantly, everything is in its order, the sun keeps shining, the moon is there, in its orbit. Everything is there. Do not think he's going to look after you. Do not think that he can keep your life in order. Do not think that he can keep you out of the trials that you don't need to be around and bring the blessings that you do need to be. Saints, let's stand together here tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.